Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Sombrero Resources. We are chatting with the CEO, Ivan Bebek. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Sombrero Resources is still private. This company is focused in Peru on base metals exploration. The company does have the flagship project, the Sombrero Copper Gold Project. Also has the Tanaka project, both in Peru. Now, Ivan, I've been getting a lot of questions and emails asking for an update on Sombrero. Everyone's wondering, A, when the company will be listed and trading, and also what work is going to be undertaken, what the process is. Let's start with the whole listing. Can you give us any updates on that aspect, please?
Yeah, great. It's great to be back, Corey. From a real blunt answer, we're close. We're very close, and we've put in a lot of work, a lot of effort on some incredible assets. Sombrero, just by memory for a lot and introduction to new, it's a copper gold opportunity in southern Peru that's mimicking the ninth largest producing copper mine in the world from an early exploration viewpoint called Las Bambas. We are looking at about 12 kilometers of copper and gold on surface. You know, we're seeing in trenches, we're seeing historical drill holes. And, you know, this represents one of those rare opportunities to be part of something massive at the same time that copper is hitting record highs at around $4.75 a pound. This has been a long road to an incredibly great asset. And we added Tacana, another massive copper nickel project, to the mix, another big district, so that we could arm ourselves with some of the best assets globally in front of this EV impacted, you know, infrastructure rebuilding that's going to go on globally for the decades to come. And these are truly some of the best metals to be invested into. And we've got some of the biggest opportunities. Just on a note of how Tacana fits, it's as good. It's looking in the early days that it would compete with Sombrero on scale and opportunity. However, it's more about grade versus about multi-kilometers of big open pit kind of targets. So it's two different beasts. We have one that's going to have a lot of high-grade copper and nickel as targets to go pursue, but world-class scale. And the other one is obviously copper, predominantly copper and gold. And so, yeah, the assets are amazing. Orin, which is the predecessor to Sombrero, Tier 1 and Fury, the pearl of Orin was arguably Sombrero. It's the one that got global attention and kind of stole the show. Partly the reason why we split the company into three and spun out Sombrero and Tier 1 is because we couldn't get value for all three in one. So, you know, when is it going to trade? We are actually a public company right now, but we're just not listed. And to get listed, we need access and we need to be able to do work on these properties. To get there, we've spent a considerable amount of time, money, and effort with an incredible team down in Peru of community people that have actually lived in the communities this whole time for about 2.5 years. About a year ago, Mr. Christian Rios, our SVP operations in Peru, had taken over, and he's got us at about 97% approval rating with the people in these communities. And the last 3%, you know, being, you know, predominantly the politicians and the leaders of the community to bring on side. This is a very high profile project in an area that has never allowed anyone here before, which is obviously where the reason comes in of why it's taking a bit longer to get access. There are a few other mining companies in the area that are not too far from Sombrero that are trying to get access as well. And everyone's making an effort. What we've done as a company, just for the benefit of every frustrated shareholder, we've done the most that any company has ever done in Peru pre-getting access in terms of our agricultural programs. Between the two communities so far, we're bringing about $4 million in AgriDias, which is agricultural programs that will be sustainable for multiple generations here to come, which will provide a lot of nourishment and access to farming and agriculture in the Andes, which has been a challenge, and it's important for the health aspects of these communities. And it's been something they've asked and encouraged us to help them with. So we've created all these massive programs. We have incredible relationship with the federal government of Peru to bring these projects into fruition for these communities with them. The support is overwhelming, but we are in the final stages of trying to figure out what's the best way forward with some of the leaders in these communities and to position the community in a sustainable kind of fashion. Where we sit once we get access and meetings are coming up, there's a slew of meetings that will start in the last week of October through the first week of November. We are going to put a press release out at the end of the first week of November to give people a big summary on kind of where things are at and what's next and the outcome of those meetings. We're going to do it so people can be fully informed. I would like to say that I'm extremely optimistic that there is some very positive movement, because the benefit of the programs that we are putting in front of these communities and we've already started to shape for them, and the benefit to us mutually is considerable, and the impact is not a year or two. It's going to be, again, as I've mentioned, multi-generational impact with real serious programs that are going to help them. So I think we're close. I think we're at the end of it. I can't wait. I am, you know, the largest shareholder and at the front, as outside of Newmont, of the company. And I probably wear the most pressure of anybody in this company and most determination to get this thing listed. And there's no stone being unturned. There's nothing we're not doing to make this a massive priority for Sombrero shareholders. So that being said, once we do get access on one part of our property, we already have the DIA, which gives us the environmental permit to drill. It still requires a social permit to be able to actually turn drills. That would be aggressively pursued on the backside of us renewing that past community agreement we had there. And the reason why it did not renew last spring or fall or late last year is because they changed their president of the community, and the new president has to sign off on it. It just fell into that perfect timeline of a new president and a signing a renewal of a community access agreement. Now, we did run into COVID. I don't like excuses. I prefer solutions. But Peru was the hardest hit globally of any country in the world. And that did really limit us for the first 6 months of the year on the communities having assemblies, which are necessary to approve agreements like we're putting in front of them. That's obviously passed, and they're able to have assemblies again, which is very positive news. And then secondly, the election. Obviously, that was a dramatic time for everybody in Peru and outside of Peru. Everybody was following it. That has really subsided, and the temperature of difficulty in Peru, especially with Sombrero, has come down considerably post-election. Things are actually seem like they're running a lot smoother than they were before, and we're seeing a lot less resistance with our presence, which does not guarantee us access here in the coming weeks, but it definitely gives us a lot of encouragement that we're going to be able to drive forward and carry out these very, very critical, you know, agricultural programs and move ahead with our exploration, provided agreements are signed. I'm excited about Sombrero and Tacana. Tacana is something new we brought in just to be greedy before the market really took off in base metals. You're looking at copper prices that are more than double than when we first found Sombrero appealing and saw the opportunity growing. And the last point I'm going to make here, and this is a really important one, just for people that may have some skepticism, Fieraso was drilled previously by Cerros Arequipa, a big steel company. They drilled a part of Sombrero on the edge of the system. This is what gave us the confidence that the target could be as good as it is, because we have a big geophysical footprint as well as a geochemical footprint, trenches on surface of consequence. And there's actually a drill hole that has about 115 meters of over 0.5% copper equivalent in it. And so it gave us that confidence that we were, you know, in the right place. And it really could be this big discovery. But the fact that they were there drilling prior, you know, and the fact that we did have community access previously, you know, it's definitely encouraging to see that as a history, and then all the new things we've done to see the potential of us getting there in the future. So we don't detail a lot of the steps we've taken, because there would be weekly updates for the last 52 weeks about what's been happening and what we've achieved. All I can say is it's been extraordinary of where we've come from where we were a year ago, and we're in the mature stages. If we do get access, we can list fairly quickly. I think that a November access grant, by the time all signatures are complete after the access agreement is agreed upon, we're looking at probably a January listing, and that's if we get things done in November. So about 60 days after we get the yes is what it should take to get to listing. And we are targeting the Toronto Stock Exchange because of the caliber of the project, There's some previous drilling in it and mineralization on the surface. But yeah, we're sitting here with great anticipation and a lot of encouragement, a lot of positivity, and the benefits are massive. And this is the most any Peruvian community has ever seen as an opportunity prior to giving access to an exploration company.
Well, those community relations are important, Ivan, and it's all part of the ESG theme that investors and institutions want to see. Let's transition over to the Sombrero project, though, and some of the historic work done on it. You had some stream sediment anomalies for both gold and copper showing on the project. And in the past, some magnetic surveys were flown that showed a big magnetic anomaly. How does this inform some of the exploration work you're going to do when you get on the project and get access to Sombrero?
Sure. So it's a massive land position, over 110,000 hectares. It's a huge property. And we discovered this by following up on a little bit of outcrop where there had been some historical exploration, which was predominantly for an iron ore deposit. When you find copper mixed in with your iron, it ruins the iron environment. So obviously production stopped there. And that's the only work that's ever been done formally outside of the sampling we did, where we noticed in the heart of Sombrero, which represents about 5% of the actual land position, we noticed a lot more outcrop that in erosional windows where, you know, there's a layer of volcanics that covered the rocks that would be of interest, skarn and porphyry targets. We noticed some erosional windows and we started trenching and we started to see, you know, from 50 to 230 meters of 0.5% copper, 0.7% over about 100 meters. We saw some really, really incredible trenches on surface that really complemented both resistivity and magnetics that were indicating potential sulfide and ore bodies that could potentially host copper, predominantly copper, but also gold. The gold grades go up to almost 200 grams per ton. Copper grades go well into the teens in terms of percentage copper, but the volume on surface of sampling we've seen, which has all been primarily at Sombrero Main to date, has been fantastic. NEOC, which is in the Lucanamarca community, it's the second community, there's two communities that are of the main focus for us right now, has the best target on surface based on historical rock samples taken. You're up to 9% copper, 5 gram gold on this area. There's extensive outcrop that we haven't trenched and sampled yet. We'll get to this as soon as we get access. And then, you know, looking past this kind of initial area, which covers about 12 kilometers of targets on surface that you can walk on with copper and gold on them, we're seeing our best stream sediment anomalies in something called Macha Makai. And this is part of the area where we have the initial drill permit, that community, the environmental drill permit. And this is really fantastic area too, because it's got really high grade copper peripheral to it, but in the actual area, the best stream set anomalies to date. We haven't trenched there yet. We haven't explored there yet. And lastly, a little bit west of the area that we have applied or received the DIA, the environmental permit on, where we're going to drill first, that this area, we found another big magnetic anomaly that's slightly buried undercover, shallow, maybe 100 meters down. And again, we're finding a lot more. And what you're hearing is clusters. And these major deposits like Las Bambas, you know, Tintayan, Tecapay, some of those big ones in the belt next door, it's very common to see them appear in clusters. So we have several clusters here, and the scale of each potential target is in itself could be a standalone mine, and there's multiple targets. So it's an area that has been protected based on history and lack of access to others. There's been some incredible innovative thinking by our technical team to really recognize the opportunity. And then just a whirlwind of communities up and down, going through different community presidents and, you know, learning the community, letting them learn us, living in the community with our community people and getting them to, you know, see who we really are and what we're all about, which has gone extremely well, although we don't have full access yet and we expect it soon.
So then, Ivan, when you do get access, whenever that might be, what's the work program look like? What do you need to do to even build up to drilling or get drilling right away?
Sure. So what we're going to do immediately is we're going to trench NEOC once we get access to that community, and we're going to go down to Macha Makai. Those are the two areas that are substantially underexplored, and this will create news flow for the company immediately, and it will likely strengthen that big arm wave that we're speculating on, that this could be another Las Bambas considerably. We don't know the richest part of the system yet, and we're going to do that in parallel to advancing our drill permit on places where we already have drill pads laid out. Because of our experience in the past 5 years in Peru and our sister company, Tier 1 Silver, achieving a drill permit within 5.5 months, we've gotten a lot more organized. And, you know, we think that the path to get a drill out there, we're going to be anxiously doing that as quick as possible. But we think it's reasonable and it's going to time perfectly with all the surface results that are going to make the opportunity likely bigger. And it's going to also potentially make it give us a lot more conviction for the strength of this big system to be there. And then also in the background, Tacana, the second asset, you know, we anticipate access there this fall and we'll be charging ahead, you know, seeing how big that opportunity really is and what level of conviction we have and pushing drill permits there at the same time. So the company is going to be super active when it comes back. Our goal is immediate news flow, continuous news flow as we build ourselves up, get ready for a big drill program, which obviously probably goes to your next question is, where's the money going to come from? How much money do you need, right?
That is a question we had. So what is the budget? What is the treasury of the company? And then what would the budget be for the exploration program moving forward?
So this is a very, very big opportunity. It would rank with some of the major mining companies a lot more than, or resonate with them more than a junior because of the scale of it. And, you know, we've obviously attracted, several of them have expressed interest to have a look at it and possibly invest into it before we drill it. I think where that comes out to be is we're going to see what our runway is to going public, what opportunities we have with potentially taking on a corporate partner or not. If the terms are right, we would exercise that. And, you know, at 475 copper for a project like this, it would be very, very easy to raise a substantial amount of capital to go drill this. From my perspective and the teams we looked at, what would be feasible in the first year, I think a 15,000 meter drill program would be a great start. And that would give us the first look and give us a chance to really get aggressive and bring more drills into the program and escalate that over time. But it won't take many holes to really see if this thing is here. Once you start drilling, if you're fortunate enough to drill multi-hundred meters of potential 0.5% or better copper, you know, it's going to go quick because the targeting has been done by our geologists, who are all former Newmont global experts. And so the quality of their work has been very elaborate, and it'll give us a level of confidence and the market to see if this opportunity is really here. But that would be phase one, and phase two would be the desire to go drill 200,000-300,000 meters, you know, so something really substantial, but either funded with the performance of phase one or be in an environment where that makes sense with price performance, additional financings, and obviously creating currency so we could do that in a non-dilutive manner.
Well, we didn't really dive into Tacana too much in this one, but just as a quick snapshot of what could come, would you be doing both drill programs in tandem, or would you start with Sombrero and then get to Tacana as a second project, or, you know, how would you see the workflow of both projects progressing?
You know, great question. And originally when we acquired Tacana, people thought it was a backup asset to Sombrero. It's not. It is equally compelling, and you'll see why over the next first 6 months of work. I would say that it comes from a former Newmont geologist as well. So the quality of work done there is pristine. I would say that, you know, in my aggressive nature of business that I've always undertook, I'd love to be drilling them at the same time or in tandem. Whichever one gets the permit to drill first will get obviously drilled first. But if we can drill them both at the same time and really elevate the performance of our company with multiple discoveries going on at the same time, that would be substantial for all of us. I think what you're going to see for the first 6 months of news, once we get access in both places, you're going to see some serious targets come out of Tacana that are going to be getting advanced to drill stage immediately. And I think that on the Sombrero side, you're going to see us reveal new targets, strengthen existing targets that we know about that we haven't sampled, and push drill permits right out the gate. So it's going to be exciting. And to create that for shareholders where you could have, it'll be actually three, you know, copper, a nickel, and a copper gold at Sombrero between Tacana and Sombrero, three world-class opportunities drilling in this commodity market that we're just entering, you know, be substantial. I saw some things on the weekend with prices of copper forecast going forward. And, you know, I think the better days of copper are in front of us. I know everyone's anxious seeing copper near $5 a pound, you know, with us to get listed. we had a lot of interest when copper was half this price. And from that, you know, I think the next few decades or and forever, copper is becoming a strategic metal. I've called it the new oil, and I got kind of mocked for saying that, and I might get it for saying it on your guys' interview here, but it is, the EV world is real. And, you know, I think there's a big commitment on both sides of our borders in North America and globally to burn cleaner. And I think you're going to see massive saturation of the EV vehicles, which demand huge amounts of copper and nickel. At the same time, if you look at U.S. infrastructure alone, but globally, you know, the refurbishment of the world to build with cleaner, better energy efficient building materials. Every time you say the word build or technology or electric, you're saying copper, nickel, you know, battery metals, or, you know, copper is in everything. So I love the market we're getting into. I know this took a bit longer than expected. So did the gold and silver market, which are finally picking up. But I think we're going to hit the ground running with this. And you can't find these opportunities, no matter how hard you look, almost ever in a career. And we've got them here, a little bit of an extra weight. But for me, it's been tough, but it's been well worth the wait, because I know how big these opportunities really are. And I know how much we can potentially benefit going forward.
Well, we'll wrap it up there, Ivan. It's going to be exciting to follow along with Sombrero as you hit the ground and hit the drills. And as you mentioned, Dr. Copper has put on his dancing shoes. And with prices getting up in the 470s and pushing $5, it's a perfect time to be looking for world-class copper deposits and base metal deposits in Peru. We're appreciative that you came on the show to give us this update. And we'll follow along, Ivan, as more news comes out to the market. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Pleasure.